Today I'm proclaiming God's word from the Old Testament reading, Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 7 and 12 to 18. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, let us find refuge in Christ Jesus our Lord, and let us in him grow in love for one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start today's sermon by talking about what we call in our Lutheran tradition the proper distinction between law and gospel. You may have heard about this before, this fact that we as Lutheran Christians especially like to distinguish between God's demands and God's promises. So to start with, let's think about this. God's law. One way we can think about God's law when we read the scriptures is to think about God's word as it comes to us demanding something from us, demanding something that we must do, and threatening us with punishment if we fail to do it. If we hear God's word and it's making a demand from us and it comes with threats, this is God's law. On the other hand, God's gospel is the good news. Not what we have to do for God, but what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And all the blessings that God gives us in Christ Jesus. When we hear the word of God proclaimed to us, when we read the scriptures, and we hear a message of God's work for us, of God's work for us in Christ Jesus, and the blessings that this brings, we have their pure gospel. Now, in our tradition, we say we need to hear both. We need to hear both God's law and the gospel, God's demands and God's promises to us in Christ Jesus. It's not that we need to hear a balance of them, 50% of one, 50% of the other. No, we need to hear both, especially according to our spiritual state. If we are feeling complacent, then we especially need to hear God's demands on our lives. But if we are feeling fearful of God, then we need to hear God's promises to us in Christ Jesus. I'd also say, by the way, that we don't want to err on one side or the other, so it seems to me. To err on one side is to miss out on faith in Christ Jesus. The point of distinguishing between law and gospel and the point of proclaiming both is to keep us in faith in Jesus. Now, in our tradition, to be sure, we say that God's law is his left-hand work. God's gospel is his right-hand work. Or his law is his alien work. And his gospel is his proper work, the work that he really wants to do with us. Nevertheless, the whole word of God together proclaims both demands and promises, law and gospel. Now, today's reading is from Zephaniah chapter 1. I was ordained in 1997, and I don't believe I've ever preached on this passage, and it's all law. It's harsh stuff. This book has some of the harshest judgment from God that you will hear in the whole of the Old Testament. You do get harsher stuff in the New Testament, in the Gospels and in the Apostles. Nevertheless, in the Old Testament, this is pretty full on. Now, the book of Zephaniah is a lesser known book. If you want to get to know about it quickly, I recommend to you something called The Bible Project on the internet. Type in The Bible Project, Zephaniah. You'll find a 5.5-minute professionally done overview of this book. It's worth a look. But just for the sake of today, I'll give you some basic plotting, or if you like, positioning of this book in the history of God's people. Zephaniah is set in the time of Josiah in the southern kingdom. You may remember that after Solomon, God's people broke up into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. In the 720s, the northern kingdom was destroyed by the Assyrians. Only the southern kingdom was left. And this book of Zephaniah is written when the southern kingdom remains, but the Babylonians are about to come in and destroy the southern kingdom as well. There is judgment at hand. There is an invading army at hand, and the prophet proclaims God's word into this context. Now, Zephaniah doesn't name the fact that it's the Babylonians who are going to be doing this harsh work. It seems because Zephaniah wants God's people to understand that this is really God's work, not the Babylonians' work. Nevertheless, we know from context and from looking at the Bible more widely that this is the Babylonians that the book is talking about, that Zephaniah is talking about. So with that in mind, with the law and gospel in mind, and with the particular setting, let's listen to what the prophet says. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. The day of the Lord, the day of crisis and of judgment, is at hand. Yet another way of understanding the day of the Lord is also a day of festivity, just like we can call Sunday the Lord's Day. It's as if God is saying through the prophet Zephaniah something like this: I have a great festival prepared, and there'll be a banquet. And the chief item on my banquet is you, you fraudulent, violent, and complacent people. And my guests are going to be the Babylonians, who will destroy your government, raise your city to the ground, and cart you off into slavery. That's the word that the Lord has for his people. Now, part of what the Lord has against his people is indeed their complacency. Their complacency in the face of injustice and violence and fraud. So listen to the word of the Lord. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. Now the imagery here in English translation is taken in different directions. One way to think about it for today: imagine someone who's just finished a big glass of wine, and they're staring at the dregs at the bottom of the glass, and they're feeling pretty happy and complacent. And they think to themselves, God's far away. I don't have to worry about being accountable to anyone in my life, certainly not to God. And then they go into a reverie about perhaps building a new house, and then thinking, well, this house will definitely have a cellar. Think of that complacent mindset. Well, God, to that sort of mindset, gives his word of judgment. Here's how the text goes on. Their wealth shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. God is not far away. A time of judgment is coming, and everything they have worked toward, the prophet says, will be swept away. Now listen to this imagery of judgment from God's word. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. This is like an unwinding of the creation account in Genesis 1. In creation, God brought forth order out of chaos. He brought light out of darkness. But in the coming judgment, things will devolve back into chaos. And where there was light, there will now be darkness and thick cloud and distress. The judgment of God, this text is saying, is at hand, and it cannot be escaped. It's a judgment that falls on God's own people, but as the text says, also has a universal scope. The Lord says, I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind, because they've sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed, for a full, terrible end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. Now here we have a picture of the suffering that is a consequence of human sin. The people who have sinned against God are staggering in darkness, with no hope of buying themselves out of the judgment. We have here a picture of human inability to escape judgment by any means. Luther, by the way, for this passage, had the opinion that the flesh and the blood mentioned here refers to the sacrifices. Listen to what Luther said. Even if they try to please God with flesh and blood, that is, of animals they've offered, even if they really want to sacrifice to the Lord, yet their sacrifices will not be pleasing. The enemy will come and scatter all their sacrifices, blood and bread, like dust. So in this Zephaniah reading, we have a very threatening picture of the consequence of sin, of wrath and the destruction that it brings. A picture, by the way, that is taken up and strengthened both by our Lord Jesus and by the apostles. So, for example, in today's epistle reading, we heard these words. You yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. Now we need to hear words like this to wake us from our complacency and to free us to hear the good news that comes not from what we can do, but from what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. It's precisely because this text from Zephaniah speaks judgment so strongly that Luther valued it so highly. Listen to what he had to say about this passage. This then is a marvelous and elegant passage, for it rejects all the righteousness of the flesh and calls it dung, even as the apostle calls it that. So he is indicating that one requires nothing for true righteousness except faith in the word of God. And here, after the word of the law, we get to the good news. And the good news is not what we have to do or the punishments that we face. The good news is that we have a refuge in the face of judgment in Christ Jesus. That in Christ Jesus we have light in darkness. That in Christ Jesus we have a refuge with the Father. We have hope in the face of our own failure. God will fight for us. And when we let God have the victory for us in Christ Jesus, then we can move from fear to trust. We can move from complacency to Christian love. Now, the book of Zephaniah prophetically anticipates this great good news, this great victory. Today, we had a reading from the first chapter, some of the strongest words of judgment in the Old Testament. But Zephaniah chapter 3, the last chapter of this short book, is filled with some of the sweetest gospel that we find in the Old Testament. Listen to these words that come at the end of the book. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives you victory. Now listen to these words. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. This is God's right-hand work. This is God's proper work, the work that God really wants to do for us, that he wants to win the victory for us, to sing over us with joy, with love, and with great approval, to have a day of the Lord that is indeed a great banquet, but where death is on the menu and where God swallows it up and where God's people gather around him as at a wedding banquet, the wedding banquet for Christ and his bride, the Lamb. Well, we are consecrated as guests to the feast that God has laid out for us. Now, in today's epistle, St. Paul could write these words. Let's hear them as we conclude this sermon. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. Let us encourage each other in the life of faith. We are not children of wrath, but children of the light. In Christ Jesus, we have good news. We have our refuge with God. Let's hear the whole word of God. We need to hear it for God to destroy the idols in our lives, for God to take away from us a heart of complacency and replace it with a heart of love. Let's encourage each other indeed to love each other and to let our light shine in this world so that as we love each other, our Father in heaven may be glorified. And may God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.